Have you seen a dead fish? The biggest difference between a dead fish and a living fish. You know the difference? The dead fish, no matter how big it is flipped over. And it is, it just floats around by the current. But living fish, no matter how small it is, it swims with its back straight up. It goes up against the stream. And it's the same with faith. That faith just follows the trend of the world. But living faith, the dead faith, they will just put their belly up and just float everywhere according to the trend of the world. But those who have living faith, they will go up against this spiritual, trend of the world. Spiritual battle. This world is a spiritual battlefield. And it is even more so as the end draws near. And in this spiritual battle, sometimes you might feel it's not really good to follow the way of truth, but the surest, most certain way of a victory is to follow the way of the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8 says, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, but for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." In the Sunday morning service, we heard, to please God, we have to live by the Word of God. We have to live a God-centered life. The reading passage is Romans chapter 12, verse 21. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And as I said, this is we are living in the fierce spiritual battlefield. So how can we overcome evil with good? So let us think about it in a couple of aspects. To overcome evil with good, we have to have truth. And what is this truth that we have to have in our heart? Ultimately, we have to know that ultimately, goodness overcomes, good overcomes evil. This is the spiritual law. So let me tell you about two stories to let you see how good and evil interact with each other and how good can overcome evil. So you can think about it yourselves. There is a book of Daniel in the Old Testament. And in the Orthodox Bible, it has 12 chapters. And outside, in the extra, there are chapters 13 and 14. In these two extra chapters, there is a story of Susanna. This happened after Kingdom of Judah fell by Babylon, and the people were taken as captives to Babylon. And there was this beautiful woman called Susanna, and her heart was beautiful too. And her parents, they were Jews. They lived by the Word of God. And they also raised their daughter to live by the Word of God. And when she became an adult, she got married to a man called Joachim, and who was respected in the society and who was also very rich. So Susanna became the wife in a very rich family. Of course, they were taken as captives, but they were not persecuted and hard-pressed like slaves. So some of the Jews, they were rich. And because they were rich, they had a big house and they had a big garden. And also because they had a big garden, because it was a big house, it was like a community center for the Jews. If there was any lawsuit or some meetings that had to be held, the people gathered at the house of Joachim. And because Susanna, she's the wife, and because she was good-hearted, she treated all the guests with all her heart. So this Joachim's house was like the center for Jewish community. And unexpectedly, there was a kind of a disaster. There were two old men who were selected as the judges, but they were not really good people. So these two old men, they noticed that the Susanna was very beautiful, and even though they were quite old, they began to have lustful thoughts about her. And they were charmed by her to an extent that they almost lost their reason. And both of them had lust for her in their minds, but they couldn't openly talk about it with each other. They were ashamed. But anyway, they came to Joachim's house every day and they wanted to have a look at Susanna. And one day they had a chance to check each other's mind. After the event was over, everybody was going back home at lunchtime. So both of them went each one's way. But one of them came back. And on the way back to Susanna's house, they met with each other. Actually, both of them did. So they realized that they had same lustful mind for Susanna. So they should have been ashamed of themselves, but they came to an agreement. So they wanted to have her by force when she was by herself. So what was Susanna's daily routine? Usually when there was a meeting, there were meetings and things, usually in the afternoon, she would take a walk in the garden. So that's what they found out. And in a good day, she would take a bath at a place in the garden along with her maidservants, by the help of her maidservants. So because they wanted to take her by force, these two old men, so one day they came to have a very good chance to do that. They knew Susanna was going to take a bath, and they hid themselves at a corner of the garden. Susanna thought everybody went home, and so with her two maidservants, she took a walk, and because it was so hot, she wanted to take a bath. So she asked the maidservants to lock the garden door, and through the side door, you can go and bring some stuff from the house. So that they had to lock the door so that nobody would come in. So these two maidservants, they went to the house through a side door. And as soon as these maidservants went into the house, these two old men who were the judges, they came to Susanna and said to her, "We love you. The door is locked. The gate is locked. Nobody's watching. So please don't say no. Let us sleep together. And if you don't, we will testify that you sent the maidservants away to sleep with a young man." So if you were in her shoes, what would you have done? She loved God. Susanna loved God. And she thought, if I have to die, I will die. So with a big, deep sigh, she said, I'm in a trap. I fell into a pit. If I listen to them, they are asking me to sleep with them. And it means I'm going to be, it is my death. It's not the will of God. If I refuse, I will be in their hands. And either way, she knew she couldn't be get out of their hands. So she thought, rather than being in their hands, I will leave myself in the hands of God. If I die, I will die. Rather than committing sins, I will keep my body pure. I'd rather do that than being in there in the hands of these evil people. So she should have screamed. So she did scream. And these two old men, they had to run away or something. But they screamed together. And one of the men, he went and opened the gate of the garden. So because there was this commotion and screaming, so people were surprised and they came to the garden. And these two old women, men, they were saying something completely not true about Susanna. And these people who heard about it, they couldn't understand it. They served Susanna for such a long time, but they have never heard such a thing. But anyway, this news spread everywhere, all of the country, all of the society, Jewish society. And in today's sense, through the broadcasting, it was made known all of the country. So the next day, the trial was held. The Susanna was there. She had her parents, her husband. Because they couldn't help it. They had to be there. So in front of so many people, the two old men accused her, saying, we were walking in the garden by ourselves, and she came to the garden with a young man, and she locked the door gate of the garden, and she sent the maidservants away. And these two people, young man and Susanna, they slept together. And we were at a corner of the garden, and we saw what was happening, and we ran toward them. And we witnessed they were sleeping together, but the man ran away first. He was stronger than we were, and he opened the gate, and he ran off. And we asked her who this man was, but she would close her mouth and not speak about it. And this is what we've seen. So about this witness, this testimony, the people who heard it, they couldn't either believe it or not believe it. If you think about Susanna, they couldn't believe what they were saying. But they were, these two old men, they were judges. So they couldn't just dismiss. And because there were two of them, they couldn't just dismiss what their witness. So people, they burst into tears. And because they were senior people, the elders, the judges, but so they had to listen to them. So the trial was held. In case of adultery, by the law of God, she had to be stoned to death. So that was the sentence. Of course, she felt she was wrongfully accused. Her parents, Joachim, they all felt she was wrongfully accused. But the sentence was given, and she was being taken to the site to be stoned. But she already decided if she had to die, she would die. But she didn't give any excuses. And she just prayed to God. Eternal God, you know all the secrets. You know everything even before they happen. And you know that these testimonies are false testimonies. They accused me with wrongful intention, and I'm going to die. She thought she wasn't going to live because she chose. she chose to rather die than to be in the hands of the evil people and to defile herself. And everything that was fabricated by them, I have nothing to do with them, and I'm innocent before God. And who was watching this? God in heaven. He was watching it. And He moved the heart of Daniel. And Daniel stood up. At that time, Daniel was a young man. And so Daniel spoke up, said, "She is innocent." In the original text, it says, "I'm not responsible of the blood of this woman." So people were surprised and they looked at him. And this young Daniel said, "Why are you so foolish? You didn't even inquire properly. And without proper confirmation, you sentenced her to death. And all the testimonies and witnesses against her is falsehood. So let us go back to the trial and let us have a proper trial." So they all went back to Joachim's house because that's the biggest place. And because of this Daniel, the judge couldn't just dismiss him. And he said, "You are young, but you are also one of the elders, so I will accept your proposal." And so they went to a retrial. Because the judge said, "You are young, but God gave you the position of elder, so please speak to us of your opinion." So Daniel spoke up. Daniel, so in today's sense, he became like a lawyer for Susanna. And he wanted to question these two old men. So he wanted to question them separately. And he asked the first old man, and the other old man was somewhere else. So he asked him first, "You have been doing a lot of evil things until you became old, and all your sins are revealed. You did an unrighteous trial, and you sentenced an innocent person to death. And God says you cannot kill an innocent man, but you say you saw it with your own eyes." Okay, so now, the Susanna and the young man, where were they sleeping together? Under which tree were they sleeping together? And the first old man said, "Acacia tree." So Daniel was already moved in his heart that they were lying. So that's why he asked him, "You told a lie with your own lips, and God will judge you, and angels will split you into two halves." And Daniel brought in the second old man and said, you are not a Jew, you are a Canaanite. You had lustful thoughts for Susanna because of her beauty, and you've been harassing a lot of other women, but they couldn't say no because of your position. But this Susanna, she couldn't put up with your evil deeds. You said you saw with your own eyes. So under which tree were they sleeping? And he said, "Oak tree." So Daniel said, "You proved your own falsehood. Angel of God will split you into two halves. Both of you will be put to death." And everybody was listening to them, so they knew. One of them said under acacia tree, and the other said oak tree. So they believed in the innocence of Susanna, but they couldn't prove it. But through this clear trial, and they praised God with a loud voice. And these two old men, they had to confess. They confessed So in today, they gave a false testimonies. And Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 18 to 21 says, if you give a false testimony. So because of false testimony, the Susanna was about to be stoned to death. But because of Daniel, it went to a retrial and Susanna's innocence was found. And what would these false witnesses receive? What kind of punishment would they receive? They have to receive the same punishment that was meant for this innocent, wrongfully accused. So according to this law of God, these two people were stoned to death instead of Susanna. So these two old men were stoned to death, and this innocent woman was saved. And everybody who saw it gave glory to God and gave thanks to God. And this is also called the Song of Susanna. And reading about this, I thought once again, God's wisdom is great, and how people's evil can come out, and how can we overcome evil with goodness? I think this story tells us all the answers, and I'm sure you're wise enough to understand all these things without me having to explain everything. Another case is the case of Joseph. He was hated by his brothers when he was young, so he was sold as a slave into Egypt, into a Potiphar's house. But he was faithful, he was a good worker, hard worker, he was wise. So Potiphar, he knew that he was blessed because of Joseph, thanks to Joseph. So he appointed him as, put him in charge of everything in his household. But unexpectedly, Potiphar's wife, in Genesis chapter 39, verse 7, it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." So she was tempting Joseph and trying to seduce him. And Joseph refused. Joseph said, "My master didn't give me everything, put me in charge of everything except you, and I cannot sin against God." So in this type of situation, an ordinary person, "Oh, I've done wrong," and she had to feel embarrassed and she had to back up, but she couldn't give up. So Genesis 39:10 says, "And she spoke to Joseph day after day." So Joseph must have suffered so much. So he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. So this is the truth. Like Senior Pastor explained, men and women, they shouldn't ride a car together. This is the same thing. So Joseph was wise and he didn't want to be with her at all in the first place. But now it happened. She was waiting for a chance. And one day, nobody was in the house but these two people. And she didn't think about anything else but sleeping with Joseph. So she held on to him and asked him to lie with her. And Joseph wanted to get out of that situation, and she let his coat be taken by her, and he just ran away. And in this kind of situation, she must have felt so embarrassed and ashamed. And she should have backed off. But evil people, they utilize evil wisdom. So she came up with an idea to accuse Joseph. Now she came to hate Joseph. And she screamed. And she was saying to people, "This Hebrew servant tried to rape me." So what is this, this clothes of Joseph? This became the evidence. Actually, it was the evidence to prove Joseph's innocence, but it became the opposite, evidence of his guilt. So she accused him. And when Potiphar, the master, came back home, she said the same thing to him, and Potiphar was enraged, and he arrested He took Joseph and put him in the jail where political prisoners were confined. And this household was blessed because of Joseph. And everybody knew in the household Joseph was faithful and honest. But before this evidence, they couldn't say anything against it. And also the master, Potiphar, he knew he was blessed by Joseph because Joseph believed in God. But when something like this happened, when his wife said all these things against Joseph, he was just enraged, saying he felt betrayed. How can you do this to me? And he didn't even think to check twice. He didn't want to question Joseph at all. He was just angry, and how can you do this to me? And he just put him in the jail of the king. And explaining about this situation, senior pastor said, this is the limitation of a fleshly goodness. When things are not right according to your benefits, according to your thoughts, then they can change completely. They can turn their backs anytime. But what is more evil is Potiphar's wife. She should have been ashamed and embarrassed, and just she should have backed off. But she piled evil upon evil, and finally she gave false witness, false testimony to her husband, and Joseph was put in jail. But we know that God is alive, and in Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So in a sense, what is good about being put into jail? But God had His own plan. Being a manager in Potiphar's house, it's not bad. You know, it was not bad. You know, he didn't have to worry about his food or clothing or house. But that's not what God wanted him to be. God had the plan to make Joseph the prime minister of this big country, Egypt. And in order to make that happen, Joseph had to learn about the politics, economy, and everything about the society. He had to have the knowledge. So, in order for him to accumulate this kind of knowledge, God sent him to jail. Of course, God is almighty, and he could have done something rather than just putting him into jail. But actually, that is not the way of God, because God is not a dictator. He does everything according to justice. So bringing him to the palace right away, that was not right according to justice. There was no basis to do that. So God put him in the jail, but Joseph didn't complain at all. Oh, I only lived by the word of God, and God put me in jail, and when can I get out? He didn't complain at all. Because whether he was in the jail or whether he was under slavery, he still believed. He believed in God. He believed that he believed in the dream that God gave him, and he always believed that God had His plans for him. So he knew it was one of the procedures. So even in the jail, he just worked hard, faithfully, with his integrity and honesty, and hard working. So the manager of the chief prisoner, he liked him, so he put him in charge of all the administrative work of the prison. So because there were a lot of king's prisoners, so he learned everything about politics, social welfare, everything about the economy and society, and all these things. So the chief cupbearer and chief baker, they were also put in the jail, and he, Joseph, served them very well. But one day, these two people had concerns on their faces. So Joseph, he knew something was wrong with them. But Joseph was at peace. He served them with all his heart. So he could notice that they had something uneasy today. So he asked them what happened. And they, both of them, they had a dream, respectively, And because of those dreams, they were concerned. And so Joseph asked them to tell him that, tell him the dream, and he gave them interpretations. And according to his interpretations, one of them, the chief cupbearer, was reinstated. But the chief baker was beheaded. And Joseph asked the chief cupbearer to remember him, that he didn't do anything wrong. But he forgot about Joseph. So 2 years passed. And yet, Joseph didn't complain at all. But this chief cupbearer came to remember Joseph through an incident. Because Pharaoh had a dream, when nobody could interpret his dream, so chief cupbearer remembered Joseph and became the messenger for the Pharaoh to bring Joseph to Pharaoh. So this is not the way of men. This is the way of God. Sometimes men's ways, they might coincide with God's ways. But just like heaven is high above the earth, God's thoughts are higher than men's thoughts. And we usually think with fleshly thoughts. We just think about earthly things. Why wouldn't God do this? Why wouldn't God do that? And sometimes we complain. But those who really understand and feel the heart of God, and those who really feel that God is love, they believe that there must be God's will even in bad happenings. Seemingly bad happenings. And they pray that God's will be done, so that they will see the good result eventually. Just like living water, living fish, in this spiritual battle, we have to overcome evil with good. And first, we have to believe that ultimately goodness will overcome evil. We have to have this in our mind all the time. And secondly, from the story of Susanna and from the story of Joseph, we understand that those are good. They don't want to deal with evil people themselves. They just leave everything into God's hands, because passing judgment and condemnation, that is not what we are supposed to do. But what is amazing, what is surprising, is evil people, they reveal their own evil and they bring destruction upon themselves. As I said earlier, the two old men, in the case of Susanna, they had many chances to bring goodness upon them. They had a lot of chances to put an end to their lust. But they didn't control their sinful nature. They just gave boost to their lusts. And two evil people went with each other, giving boost to each other. And they were revealing their own evil more and more, and they thought, and they gave the false testimony, and they tried to kill an innocent man. And the innocent man was on the way to be stoned to death. But God intervened, and there was this big turn of events. And Susanna didn't accuse these two old men. She just wished in her prayer that God would recognize her innocence. And God did, because they revealed their own evil. God dealt with these evil people in His own way. And it was the same with Joseph's case. After this happened, several years later, Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. Potiphar was the captain of the bodyguard of the king. And this captain, Potiphar, he had to bow down before, show respect to Joseph. And when this wife found out, when Joseph became the prime minister, she must have trembled so much. She must have been so afraid. But we know that Joseph is a good person. And so he didn't want to take any revenge. He didn't want to revenge Potiphar or his wife. He just let them be. And yet, because of their own evil, they suffered in their heart. And Joseph only thought about, okay, he was sold here in Egypt, and the wife tried to seduce him, and because of his refusal, he was put into jail. And what is the reason behind this? What is the will of God in this? He just thought about the will of God. He just wanted to find out the will of God, that it is the plan of God to... He realized that it was the plan of God to make me the prime minister and to bring me here in Egypt so that the sons of Israel could survive the famine, so that this nation of Israel could be formed. So that is why God let Joseph come to Egypt first and go through all those steps so that the sons of Israel could prevail. This was the will of God. And Joseph realized all this plan of God. And those who can see the big picture of God, they wouldn't just easily complain. And looking at this big picture of God, they just give thanks and they always believe in God who causes all things to work for good of everything. And they just keep meditating on the will of God. And as was spoken in the representative prayer and the special praise, Jesus only lived by the truth on this earth. And he was, and especially religious leaders, they were jealous of him, like Pharisees and Sadducees. They tried to kill him. And in the process of their effort, this Judas Iscariot was used as an evil instrument. And thinking about Judas Iscariot, we feel sorry for him. He was with the Son of God. He saw everything that the Son of God did. Especially, he was put in charge of the money. And he was loved by Jesus also. He listened to so many words of truth and love and goodness. He witnessed so many signs and wonders, the power of God. And he witnessed them firsthand. He heard them, he experienced them. And yet, he betrayed Jesus. And if he didn't, he could have been one of the 12. And he could have gone to New Jerusalem eating at the table of the Lord. He could have had this chance. However, what dragged him out into evil was fleshly thoughts, as mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God, for it is not able to do so. Subject itself to the law of God or is able to do so. So, Judas had his own thoughts about Messiah. Messiah had to be the king of the world. He had to rule over the world. But Jesus was not somebody like that. Jesus was different from the Messiah that he thought should be. So he had this agony in his mind. And also, he hoped for some physical or monetary reward. So he thought he made a wrong choice. Later he thought, he just thought about selling him out. So he sold his master out for 30 silver coins. Not just because Jesus, he was arrested, not because he sold him out, but by God's allowing, by God's permission, because the time came. But eventually, Judas Iscariot was used as an evil instrument. But that is what we feel sorry about, that he had to be used as an evil instrument. Of course, Judas Iscariot, watching everything that happened, seeing Jesus would be crucified. Probably Judas didn't think he was going to be crucified, die such a wretched death, so he had pangs of conscience. And he wanted to return this 30 silver coins. But the high priests, they didn't accept it. So with that money, they bought this field. And you know that already. And if you consider his end, Matthew chapter 27, verses 33 to 5 says, "Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders." But Acts chapter 1, verses 18 to 19 says, "Now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his intestines gushed out." So this happened simultaneously. He hanged himself, and the branch broke, and he fell, and he burst open in the middle and all his intestines gushed out. And the difference is that explaining how he died and what happened to him. And those who are good-hearted, they don't want to pay back evil with evil. As like senior pastor did, he just prays for them to come back. He just prays for them to repent, even evil people. So was the case with Susanna, Joseph. But those evil people, they reveal their own evil, not because other people force them to, but they just reveal their own evil and they bring destruction upon themselves. So, thirdly, in this situation, what do we have to do? How do we have to solve this problem? And reading, sometimes reading newspapers and everything, we hear these expressions called, customer satisfaction and customer surprise. Customer satisfaction is to fulfill their expectations. But customer surprise is to go beyond their expectations. You do more than what they expect. So they are surprised. They are touched. So it is a customer surprise. Let me tell you a story. In King Sejo of the Joseon Dynasty, there was a man called Yunhae. When he was young, there was an event when he was going back to his hometown, and in the middle of the night he had to go into an inn, and because he was his clothes were shabby, the innkeeper didn't give him a room, so he kicked him outside. So he just wanted to stay under the roof outside, and staying there, the son of the innkeeper, he was playing with a marble, and he dropped it by mistake, and he came to pick it up, and it rolled, and it went into a kind of gutter, and the child couldn't go into the gutter and take it out. So he just went back in, and the goose of the house came out and ate this marble. That's what he witnessed. And soon after that, there was this big commotion in this inn. The innkeeper and his wife, they were saying, this pearl was stolen. And probably this poor man, this poor-looking man, he must have stolen it. Because it's the night, they held, tied him in the pillar, Paul, and said, we'll take you to the police. And if you want to do that, please tie this goose together with me. So they did. It was kind of dumbfounding, but anyway, they did. So next day, so they wanted to take him to the police the next day. So he asked them to check the excrement, the feces of the goose. And there was this Paul there. So they felt sorry. They were embarrassed. So they told him, if you knew about it, why wouldn't you tell us last night? And this is a customer surprise. He said, if I told you last night that this goose ate the pearl, then you'd have killed this goose. If I just take the pain for one night, I could have saved this goose. And saying this, it reminded me of the shepherd. If we hear about something good, we are reminded of the shepherd because he taught us goodness. And every time he hears about goodness, he bursts into tears. And I kind of envy him because he bursts into tears all the time whenever he hears something about goodness. And I came to think that if he hears about this story, he will probably burst into tears. But this is customer satisfaction, surprise. But we were already surprised by God the Father. How? I don't have enough time, so let me quickly, briefly cover it. 1 John 4:10 says, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We were sinners. We didn't even know God. We didn't love God. We didn't live by the Word of God. But for us, still, for us, He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. This is much more than customer surprise. This is human surprise. And God is not just God who surprised us, but also the Lord. Even though God told him to go down, if he refused, God couldn't force him. But our Lord, Romans 8:32 says, Romans 5:7 says, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you really think about it, it is more than surprise. How much did God love us? How much is the Lord surprising us? Let us think about this love. The more we think about this love, the more we think about the depth of this love, the more we'll be touched. And how about our shepherd? He always moved God more than what was expected of him. He always moved us. In 2010, when we had this big repentance, those who committed those sins, the Bible tells us not even to pray about those people. And knowing that fact, knowing the Bible tells us not to pray for them, the senior pastor had to still pray for them because they were his flock. And for more than a year, he prayed with draining out all his energy and life force and brought down the forgiveness of God. But that was not the end. And He had to take us all the way to New Jerusalem. So he had to fill up the measure of justice for the last 7 years. And it is the wrapping up of the justice. And he is going the worst of the worst. Just like the Lord who came to, for the Lord to come down to this earth in human body, that is not something easy for him. And it is also surprising enough. And yet, when the time came, he was arrested and he had to die on the cross. So he was arrested and he was flogged and he wore the thorns on his head. And he took the cross all the way up to Golgotha, and he was pierced through his hands and feet by the nails, big, long nails, and he shed all his water and blood. And yet, he was asking God to forgive those who were crucifying him, for they do not know what they were doing. But that doesn't mean those who were crucifying him, they were touched and they praised him. No, they were still mocking him, despising him, shaking their heads. And yet, Jesus just did his duty. That was the worst of the worst. And what our shepherd is going through, what we are going through, it is like our Lord was crucified naked. It's the same with our shepherd. You know, he's being put to shame, like a heinous criminal, just as Joseph was considered a heinous criminal. And we already know what kinds of prayers our shepherd would be offering up to God. He wouldn't pray to God that, oh, Father, please deal with them. But he would pray, Father, they were once my flock. I want them to be saved. If possible, Father, please give them chance to repent. And he wouldn't stuff out a smoldering wick or break a bruised reed. I believe this is the kind of prayer that our shepherd is offering to God. And we know how the shepherd has been moving the heart of God. Also, we heard in the Sunday morning service. But now we got to ask this question. Our Father, our Lord, and our shepherd touch the heart in this way. Then what can we do to please God the Father? What can we do to please the Lord and our shepherd? We have to think about this, and we can just put it into practice. specifically. We don't have to go become a martyr. In our own positions, at this moment, what would the shepherd desire of us to do? And what we've been doing is customer satisfaction, satisfying God the Father. But there has to be something more, something extra, so that we can touch the heart of the Father God. Like in the special praise of Deaconess Seonggyeol Ju's, like she did something additional and she touched our hearts. This is what we are supposed to do. What does our shepherd want us to do the most? It is to love the Father God first and foremost and follow the way of the Lord and gain eternal life and bear the fruit of true fruit as children of New Jerusalem by the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that we can live with the Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd forever in New Jerusalem to share our love together forever. This is the only thing that He desires of us. So what do we have to do now? Even though we can't see him with us, we already know him, so we can just trust him, and we have to have this desire to take after his example. We want to be like him. We want to have this good heart. We want to have this love that he has. We have to have this desire. And as time goes, we have to be able to give our fruit, abundant fruit. That's what we want to do. In my case, I already hear many touching stories. Even without being told what to do, one of the young adults members, one of the church members, she called me. And because her two children are in the young adults in Seoul. And without even telling them what to do, they are fasting and praying. So that's what they are doing already. So she thanked me. But I said, oh, I didn't do anything. And the mother was quite worried. So, and then she found out that she didn't have to worry at all, as also Senior Pastor Sujin Lee said. It's not easy to bring those who didn't come to church for a long time. So in case of, even if you call them for 1, 2, 3, 4 years, they don't answer you. But after this kind of thing, you know, they call them and, you know, they call the pastors. They call the pastors and say, who is this? And I am this and this. And where are you? And I'm in the church. And say, oh, the senior pastor is having a hard, it seems like he is having a hard time and we cannot just keep quiet. So this is what we are doing. If the parents are suffering, what do we do as children? Sometimes we clean the house or sometimes we help them cook or something. And what we have been doing, we have to do. And something extra, then God will consider our effort. And those who didn't pray, you can come and pray. Those who are not praying hard, you can pray hard. And as you show your effort, and God will hear our prayers and look at our hearts. And this is a God's work, but this is also the work of the shepherd and the work of God's glory, the work of the church. So let us think about how we can move the heart of God. It doesn't have to be something big. Maybe take care of the souls once more, call them once more, encourage them once more. So maybe you can fast a meal. So this, we know the end result in this fight, and we don't fight with evil. Senior Pastor always has been telling us that we have to fight with goodness. And we know, and we have to think about what this goodness is, and overcome in this battle, fight this battle with goodness and honesty so that eventually we can give glory to God. we'll sing. We'll be able to sing that we are giving glory to God. Truth and love overcame. And who is this shepherd that we are serving? And let me tell you just one more thing. There was this there's a lady in New Jersey, and she asked for senior pastor's prayer for one of her friends, not for herself, but for her friend, one of her friends. And there is a letter in the March 31st Friday Olay service. Senior pastor prayed for my friend Linda Eureka. She was in coma due to severe conditions. And the right next day, I received a call. Her eyes are opened. She can move her limbs. The white blood cell number is in normal range. And I give thanks to the senior pastor who prayed for me, prayed for her. And we should be proud of our shepherd. And we should be ready to do anything for this shepherd. And I hope you will pray with this kind of mindset.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.